Lord Jesus, thank you that you are indeed our Savior, and we've come into your presence. We ask you to pour out upon me, upon all of us, a deeper awareness of the infinite love that you have for us, the love that heals. You've called us, each and every one of us here, to encounter you. May we be open to receive all you have for us. We entrust tonight our lives, our loves, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations to you through the intercession of Mary, whose Annunciation we celebrate tomorrow, and we pray together, Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
It is a great gift for me to be able to be here with you. I've heard about Awaken, and it has awakened in my own heart a bit of holy envy of the Archdiocese. But I suspect that we might be able to do something similar to this in Lansing. Yes, I think so. I'm not dressed in an alb stole, because I come tonight not, I am a priest. Always a priest, even if I don't have my clerical garb on or stole, an alb, a chasuble, cope. But I come as a witness. I am, as it were, tonight, and I want to invite you to just journey with me on God's great gift of orchestrating in my life a new beginning. It's my understanding that the theme for the spring is rise and shine, and I don't know who was on for ordering the weather today, but good job, whoever had that responsibility. I was baptized as a little baby. I grew up, my family went to Mass every week. We did all of the sacraments. I received Jesus for the first time on Holy Thursday in my second grade class, my year. I didn't know then, but God had a plan for me that I would one day say those words that Jesus said on that Holy Thursday. I was confirmed probably fourth or fifth grade at that time, but I met Jesus when I was 13 or 14. Well, I'd been receiving him since I was seven. But I didn't meet him until I was 13 or 14 years old. And it was in a Protestant ministry that came to Detroit, went to Cobo Hall, and heard him speak. And he helped me open my heart to receive the one that I'd been receiving since I was 7 years old, to really receive his love and to believe that he had died on the cross for me. I'd heard it, but I experienced it for the first time. Began to love the scriptures in a way that I hadn't before. And my whole family left the Catholic Church. It was 18 years after we left, when I was 18, when I was 36, journey to come back to the church. And eventually I would be ordained in 2005 to the priesthood. But the Lord had been working all the time. Objectively, I was away from Jesus, who is the bread of life. I was away from the sacraments, but the Lord was working. And I don't know if you've been away from the sacraments, or you know someone who's been away from the sacraments, but the Lord is working. No matter how far we go, it's not beyond his reach to grab hold of us. When I came back to the church, it was a great consolation. I pushed and pushed and pushed on the claims of the church. And of course, you know this, it can withstand all of our questions. The most difficult hurdle, frankly, for me was Mary. Mother Mary, whose church we're in, and whose son we worship. Eventually, I surrendered to the teaching of the church. They're right about pretty much everything else. How could they be wrong about this? And once I made that move, that conversion in my heart, I realized, of course, he's the mother of Jesus. And I'm the brother of Jesus through my baptism. So of course she's my mother. So I'm so grateful for the people I served as first pastor at St. Mary's in Swartz Creek outside of Flint, and to be in her church tonight, the night before we remember her, yes, her fiat, her may it be done to me according to your word, is a great gift to me. And I hope you experience it as well. When I was 13 or 14 at that Protestant ministry, the man who had a powerful ministry, he had a prophecy. He said that there's going to be a powerful renewal in the nation beginning in Southeast Michigan. And brothers and sisters, we're in the midst of it right now in a powerful way. And it is God's gift to us and to the world and to our church. I love the fact that when Archbishop Vigneron called the synod here in the Archdiocese, he said, we want to pay attention to signs and wonders. Of course. Whenever the Lord is preached, whenever he comes and people come to him, people are changed, indeed healed. I believe that now more than ever. Because I was so late to the priesthood, I began seminary at 38. One of my classmates was Father Ed White, a priest of the Archdiocese of Seattle. You might say, well, what's this have to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you. This past October, actually a year ago, parishioners of his invited me to preach the men's retreat out in Seattle this past October. And I went out there, and I kid you not, it rained continuously. I had a good raincoat. I live in Michigan. It rains here too. But I knew that they were used to it because no one mentioned it. Here we talk about the weather. Wasn't it a beautiful day today? Yeah, it was. We talk. He mentioned a book, this book right here called Be Healed. Maybe Father Matthias, who's been here before, has mentioned it. I suspect that a month from now he'll mention it again. It's called Be Healed, a guide to encountering the powerful love of Jesus in your life. So Father Ed White said he'd went to a retreat that Bob Schutz gave to priests, and it made a big difference for him. And I said, well, when I get back to Michigan, I'm going to have to get that book. You know how it is. We make plans. Nothing happened. So I have this website on my, or link on my website that you can just make an appointment. Just click, somebody came in, and he brought me a bag with this book in it. I was like the Lord was saying, hello, 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 hello. I want you to read this book. I just finished the book, and I got a call that a 41-year-old parishioner of the parish, man who'd been dealing with drug addiction, died of an overdose. It was not an intentional overdose, but he was despairing, you know, that's why he was taking the drugs. And I just read this book, and I preached. And I said to that family and the congregation that gathered to grieve his passing, that I regretted just telling the family that I would pray for Adam. That was his name. Well, that's a good thing to do, pray, right? I offered to meet with him. He didn't want to meet with me. I'll pray. I realized after I read this book that don't get me wrong, prayer is powerful, but the Lord gives us more healing than I believed. I sense when I read this book that the Lord could unlock the problems of my heart, could help me figure out why I sinned and why I looked to this or that to salve the pain of the wound of living. I knew that Adam had been wounded, maybe more than once. That's the basic schematic in this book. We're wounded, we believe lies, and we make little inner vows. And those inner vows create a great context for the evil one to have a stronghold to get us to fall into the same temptation over and over and over again. In the foreword of the book, Father Mark Toops says, ever feel like you're going to confession? Some of you have gone to confession tonight, maybe some are still there, and you offer the same bad fruit. Oh, here it is, that rotten banana, that nasty fruit, apple that's stinking to high heaven. That's what we give the priest, right? That's the bad fruit of our lives. And, you know, the priests take them dutifully, put them in the compost pile, and send us to go. Now, what happens? A month later, maybe a week later, maybe 2 days later, some of you 1 day later, right? I just went to confession. What happened? Why am I back? That's a great question. Why do you sin? Why do I sin? We sin because we think that by sinning, it's going to make it better. And we're always wrong. We have believed, as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, the lies of the evil one. What's the answer? The answer is to figure out, go from the fruits, the bad fruit, to the roots. That's the message. And I believed it. I said, I think this book is going to change my priesthood. Little did I know. I went to their website, JP2 Healing Center. I found a priest retreat in the first part of February. I went. I had read the book, began to do it, and I began to look at my own life. I looked at the wounds in my early life and tried to pay attention to the mortal sins. You'd be happy to know, I don't know if you can top this, Father Steve, I just found 6 of the 7 deadly sins. That's it. And that's a branch, and it led to different sins in my life. And one of the things that they invited us to do is to look back into our experience and to find moments when we might have been wounded and believed a lie and made an inner vow. And I remembered as I prayed and I asked the Lord to reveal this to me. I remember a time when I was maybe 13 years old. And every boy wants to know he has what it takes. He's got what it takes to be a man. My dad was talking with some of my uncles and friends, and they were talking about a topic, I don't know what it is now, but I had just read something about it. That was before the internet. And I chimed in. And my dad, he said, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. And what happened to my little heart? Just kind of closed right down. What I believed were some lies, that I don't have what it takes, I'm not man enough, I'll never measure up. That was the lies that I believed in. And I made an inner vow that day. I realized it, that I'm never going to not know again. I'm never going to be wrong again. I'm always going to know the answer. And that's very functional, actually. If you have that kind of inner vow, you have that commitment to do that, you're going to have a lot of answers. You're going to know a lot. And I said to my parishioners, some of you have experienced that. Yeah, Father, you think you know it all. But what was going on was a desperate fear that you or anyone else would see that I didn't have what it takes. I didn't know it all. That I was naked. We're here in the presence of Jesus. And the whole program of JP2 Healing Center is to let Jesus do the healing. So when I was meeting with Bob Schutz, the author of the book, he says, I want you to go back to that moment when your dad said that to you. And remember what it was like. And I started weeping. Because I've been kind of covering over it for so long. And I gave myself permission in the context of prayer and before Jesus to admit the ache. And I wept. And he invited me to invite Jesus into that. And you know what Jesus did? And you might say, well, how did he do it? He did it in my mind. I didn't try to script it. I just opened myself to that under the protection of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came. And he put his arm around me. And he said, you were right. You were right. Such peace came over me. Such peace. I didn't know it, but that was my healing. There were some other things that we prayed about. The next day, we had a couple of 45-minute sessions, and Bob took me back to that memory. Just wanted to make sure that there was not something hanging on there that I was clinging to, or the wound was still raw. And he took me back and says, well, you remember your dad doing that. And what do you do? And I remember smiling and saying, oh, that's just dad. And then I walked away and spent time with my cousins in my mind. I was healed. I saw 9 other priests healed that week. How? By Jesus. 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 The Savior. The Redeemer. To share a quote from Pope Benedict. If I can find it here. He writes this in Jesus of Nazareth. Alongside the commission to exorcise demons, Matthew adds the mission to heal. The 12 are sent to heal every disease and every infirmity. Every infirmity. Every disease. Every. Healing is an essential dimension of the apostolic mission and of Christian faith in general. When understood at a sufficiently deep level, this expresses the entire content of redemption. Healing expresses the entire dimension of redemption, the entire content of redemption. I've been praying. I prayed with people for healing. And when I got back from my retreat, we had a 3-night mission, and we ended every night with Jesus. And whatever else happened, Jesus came and he brought healing to people. We had the people come up. He's going to come to you. How beautiful. And I invite you to really be open to receive his healing touch. When I got back, everyone I saw, oh, the Lord wants to heal you. And the Lord wants to heal you and you and you. I just couldn't. I felt like the Grinch. In Whoville, they say that his little heart grew 3 sizes that day. I'm not kidding you. I thought I loved the people of God at the Church of the Resurrection. But it was like the heart of Jesus just like opened up. And my life has changed. My priesthood has changed because of an experience with the healing power of Jesus. You see, here's the problem with us Christians. We figure that we've just got to manage. Well, yeah, I have that struggle. Some of you young men and not so young men are dealing with stuff on the internet in a bad way. And you just, well, that's just adolescence. No. It's wounds that lead to lies, that lead to inner vows, that lead to a compulsion in this or that way. I am actually going to have the temerity, the boldness, to say that there is no sinful pattern that you find yourself bound up in that the Lord can't free you from. I'm not saying you're never going to sin again, but the compulsion, the sense I have no strength, I have no freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Is that true or is it hooey? Now you might say, well, of course it's true. Up here, right? We're saying, of course it's true. But it's not true here. Tell me I'm wrong. How many of you really believe, I want you to think about this, how many of you really believe that you are living the fullness of life? You have abundant life right now. Freedom, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit. How many? Maybe 5, 10 people? What I know now, in a way I've never known it before, and I believe I'm going to know it more a month from now than I know it now, is that the Lord can free every man and woman from the lies that lead us to sin in predictable ways. That we can pluck out the rotten tree and bear fruit from the tree of life, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. A woman, after I've been talking, I can't shut up about it. It's like the woman at the well, right? Right? So what did she do? Well, let's just look at that, right? You heard it this past Sunday. She's there at the middle of the day because she was ashamed. And Jesus asked, go get your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. That's right. You've had 5, but the man you're with now is not your husband. Why did he say that? He said it because he wanted her to know that he knew everything about her. There was nothing that would not be accepted with the heart of love and changed. Notice, she left the bucket at the well and she went to the town and she said, come see a man who tells me everything about my life. Could he be the Christ? Yes, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Do you need to be healed? I humbly submit that you, each and every one of you, all of us, do. And I have more healing to do. But let me just ask, do you have buttons that people in your family or your workplace can push and you respond in a predictable way? Well, you need to be healed. Can you not resist the clickbait around news websites? If you can't resist, there's probably something there that the Lord wants to heal. Food, drink. One woman, after I've been talking about this, she came to me. She's an intentional disciple. She's been in the charismatic renewal. She's been prayed for for inner healing, deliverance, all that stuff. And that's all good. Don't get me wrong. But here's what happened when she prayed. She realized that when I was talking about all these wounds, not because of me, because the Lord came to heal all the wounds, right? It's my understanding that the theme text is Isaiah 61. That's not at all relevant, I don't think. I'm just being facetious. This is what Jesus did when he came in the Spirit into the synagogue. Motivated, driven by the Spirit, he came into the synagogue and he opened the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted. I think the more honest we are, brothers and sisters, each and every one of us, there is a brokenheartedness that the Lord wants to heal. And there will always be a wistfulness for heaven because this is not heaven. As good as it can be, it's not yet heaven. But he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to proclaim liberty to captives. If you are captive to a pattern of sin, he can give you liberty. And he wants to, very much. And release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn. He wants to love you. To have that love be the healing in your heart. Back to the woman. She said she was praying, and as she asked the Lord to reveal the wound, she realized that she had a huge mommy wound. Her mom did not love her the way that she needed to be loved. And let me just say something to mothers, fathers, spiritual and otherwise. You are wounding your children. Don't feel bad about it. It's just true. But here's the one you came to worship. He can heal our wounds and the wounds we inflict. Bob Schutz talks about a man at 2 years old. He saw his mother nursing his sister, and he resented his sister, and he hated his mother. She just did. So that wound wasn't because of anything she had done. It's because the evil one is always there trying to be opportunistic and get us to believe lies. Well, I can't remember exactly what happened, but this woman, probably in her early 60s now, said, I had a mommy-shaped wound and a particular sin that she had been given into for a long time. I don't think she'd mind me saying it was food. She just could not ever get mastery over her appetites. And she said, Father Steve, when I invited Jesus to come in, he showered down love upon me and he filled my heart. And she says to me that now she and Jesus talk about what she's going to eat. And he gave her permission to have an extra piece of cake. But there's freedom. That's what he wants. He wants you and me to have freedom. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not sinning anymore. I went to confession earlier today. I'm one beggar showing you where the bread is. And it's the bread of life that can really heal. Another woman. Yesterday, I'm inviting everyone to read the book. You come and talk to me, read this book. You might say, Father, sounds like you're a faddist. No. I finally have hope. I finally know love. I've had faith, but now it really is the assurance of things hoped for, the knowledge of things unseen. I know that if you let him, he can heal you. And there's blockage. Talk about the woman and then a man, all right? This woman, she was talking about this or that, and then something came up, and she was talking about how she long had dealt with the imposter syndrome. You know, I really shouldn't have this job. I can't do it. That's a shame and inferiority, right? That comes. And she was talking about that, and I just was paying attention. And she remembered a time when she was 10 years old. It was her favorite teacher. The assignment in school was to write a prayer. She was at a Catholic school. And she didn't take it very seriously. She just opened a book, copied one down, changed a few words. And she handed that in. The teacher the next day said, that's a beautiful prayer. I want you to pray that in public tomorrow. She was just crushed. Oh my goodness. I lied. I said I made this prayer. And so the next day, she pretended, she lied that she was sick. So she didn't have to go. She's been carrying that memory for 44 years. You all who are older than me or my age know what I'm talking about. There's something there that the Lord... Now, what happened? I didn't say a thing. I just said, all right, Jesus, have your way. We prayed, asked the protection of the Holy Spirit, and I said, close your eyes and just invite Jesus in. He was up in her bedroom. I didn't know this, but she shared. I said, why don't you just imagine you're in your room and Jesus comes to you there. and she has two sisters that she roomed with. She had to kind of shoo them out. And then Jesus came. And he says, "You shouldn't have done that. But it's okay. It really is okay." And then Jesus invited the teacher to come in. This all happened in her heart, in her imagination. And she was not guiding this because I saw the tears. The tears that the Lord was doing his healing work in her heart. And she told him that she was sorry. And he said, "It's okay." And then Jesus said, "Why don't you write a prayer now that's from you?" And it was this long, 5 minutes. And she just had a smile on her face and peace. And she said she went home and her whole world was different. Same thing with the woman who had had the problem with the eating. Same thing with me. Same thing with you. Now I'm going to challenge you. I know there are more people here than we'd like to admit who think that's fine for you, Father, but that's not going to happen for me. The young man I was talking about, he's been struggling in particular ways for a long time. And I knew long before I had this book that the Lord wanted to heal him. And I preached about this past Sunday, as you might imagine. I can't shut up about it, just like the woman at the well. And he said to somebody at table, "And I've read the book, I've done Father's homework, but I haven't been healed." He hasn't yet prayed and let Jesus in. And I suspect that he, and maybe you, don't dare let Jesus in. Because what if you're not healed? Then it's proved that you are outside of his reach. You are unworthy. You are left out. See, this is the lie of the evil one. We dare not enter that door of our hearts, because what happens if I'm just naked and afraid? But what did Jesus say? "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." I don't know what the Lord wants to heal in your heart, but he does. And if you ask him to reveal it, he will make it clear. I very much recommend that you get this book. I don't get any commission. Right on. But here's the thing. From the beginning, before time began, God knew that I would grow up in the home I did. We would leave the faith. I would go to seminary later on than I would have otherwise. I would have met Father Ed White. He would have recommended this book. And I probably would have still been oblivious. And he would have come and hit me on the head and said, "Please read this book." The Lord has worked in each of your lives, and you have, to a person, been wounded. And he doesn't ask you to just endure it, to suffer through. I'm bearing my cross for Jesus. Now, I'm not taking anything away from joining our sufferings to that of Christ. But do not take the devil's lie and believe it, that you need to suffer from temptations that over which you have no control, as if that were your cross. No. I do not believe it. Why? Because I have freedom. And the woman has freedom. And another man has freedom. And you too can have freedom. Again, I'm not saying you won't sin anymore. I'm grateful for the sacrament of reconciliation, to receive it and to give it. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. do yourself and your family a favor and be healed. What does it take? Jesus. To come into that wounded place in your heart, or those places. One woman said to me, Father, you had a couple of wounds. I've got hundreds. What would you say to her? Well, too bad for you. Right? If there's anything we know, is the more needy we are, that's the one that the Lord wants to come and heal. The Lord does heal, even today. Hearts. We kind of think about the miraculous physical healings, and they bring glory to God, absolutely. But I tell you what, I'd rather be lame and have the freedom I have in my heart than walk and run freely and be a slave to the lies of the evil one. He came simply, wholly, fully, joyfully to heal you and me. Will you let him? Oh, please, please, let him. Invite you, just a few more words. I invite you to, in a silence, ask the Lord to reveal the ache, the wounds. And you know what? I don't have to be there. You could invite him in, and you could too, and you could too. Let him come and heal you, even now. Amen.